Welcome back to Ping. It's episode 172. 172 weeks of us bringing you all the hot stories that Microsoft users are pinging each other about. Last week, as we do now every week, we had a question of the week, Paul, and we threw it out there to see what we would get back, what kind of software people relied on in college. And I was actually really surprised at our answers. Well, first, did you want to answer that, Paul? Did you have a certain piece of computer software that you really like used a lot in college?
I definitely mastered the Office suite in college. I liked Excel because it made it really easy to do stuff that could just impress everybody in my business school. I liked PowerPoint because I could just make some fun little PowerPoint presentations. And then I definitely liked Visual Studio because I was hacking around all the time building random stuff. And it was just super useful. So
wow. See, I thought we would get a lot more answers similar to that, you know, where people were tooling around in Visual Studio and whatnot. But I felt like we got a lot of just basic, I was using Microsoft Word, one person was using Photoshop, which was me. I was also using Photoshop. But I thought we'd get a lot more, you know, developer-heavy tools for building software. And we got to some basic, hey, I had to write an essay and I needed Microsoft Word.
Yeah, I think that there are still a lot of developers that are out there that didn't necessarily go to college to get a CS degree, or if the CS degree that they did get, they weren't using Microsoft tools. They were probably using either open source tools or just the compilers and weren't really getting the benefits that are available from Visual Studio. I know when I was when I took an engineering class at the University of Michigan, the professor that I had was actually fairly anti-Microsoft and kept saying a bunch of very negative things about Visual Studio and how it wasn't a perfectly standards compliant compiler. And that's not necessarily the benefit of Visual Studio, is to have standards compliant compiler. Like, sure, that's definitely a nice thing to have, but it's really the environment with the IntelliSense that can help you be more productive, and then you can use whatever compiler you want to actually submit.
Yeah, where's that teacher now, huh? Where's he now?
But anyway, the comments on here, one of my favorite comments was from Int64, where he said his software that he relied on during college was Word to create the essays and reports, and then Duke Nukem 3D to make myself feel better after getting the grades back.
That's right. That's right. I suppose if we want to look at it that way, I relied heavily on Abe's Odyssey to make myself feel better. The World of Lorne Lanning. Are you familiar with that? It's a trilogy now. No, it's more than that. Are you familiar with that game franchise? Oddworld,
no.
Paul?
No.
You got to get up with it. A funny story from my college days. I remember when I first got to school, I lived in like this little dorm with obviously multiple roommates, and one of them kept tying up my phone line with her email, at which point none of us had really... we weren't that familiar with email. We only went to the library to check email. It was very annoying that she insisted on having it in our dorm room and tying up our phone line. And still to this day, I hate her. So. Different reasons.
Good story.
Different reasons. Different reasons. Anyway, should we start the show?
Let's do it.
All right, Paul. So I spent a lot of time, mostly because I have no life, on message boards and the interwebs and reading various forums and threads and all sorts of goodness. And one of the things that drives me nuts are things they call trolls. These people who just sit there and post mean things and try to start fights and offer nothing valuable to the conversation, but are just there to sort of spew hatred. You know what I'm talking about, Paul? You know these people?
Nope.
Well, they exist.
Maybe I'm trolling right now.
That's maybe you are. But for every troll, there is a good hearted, kind, wonderful contributor, and those people deserve a pat on the back. The people who answer the questions, the people who offer advice, the people who are really there to help and are sort of, you know, what message boards and communities and online forums are all about, really. And these people deserve a hug, deserve a pat on the back, deserve a trophy, deserve to be called an MVP in the eyes of Microsoft. Are you familiar with the Microsoft MVP program, Paul?
Yeah, the Microsoft Most Valued Professionals. Yeah, they're a great group of people. When I first joined Microsoft, I was in the SQL Server team, and I think within my first 6 months or first 12 months, I started meeting some of the MVPs for SQL Server, and they're a very smart, tight-knit, passionate group. And it was definitely very cool to see how they were using SQL Server and how they had such a strong desire to learn more about what was coming, and hearing their concerns and also hearing how the product team would respond to those concerns. It was really interesting.
Yeah, I actually had the opportunity to meet with a bunch of the Xbox Live MVPs, and these, you know, very same thing. These are people who get the games early, give good advice, give good feedback, help people on the message boards. And so Microsoft created this program called the, it was actually 20 years ago, which is why we're talking about it now. This is their 20th birthday to the Microsoft MVP program, where we go out and we had found community members who are knowledgeable, passionate, you know, good-hearted, doing the right things in terms of serving their fellow community member, and they slap them with the title of Microsoft MVP, which of course comes with its own set of perks and rewards as well.
Yeah, there are all sorts of benefits you get as an MVP. Like, not only do you get industry recognition, and you get little badges that you can put on your site or blog, or you know, just let people know, but you also get inside information from Microsoft. They have an MVP summit, I think it's every year, where you can where all the MVPs are invited to Redmond to see all of what's new. They also have little birds of feather session where each of the individuals that are part of a specific cluster can go visit the product team. I know the folks in SQL Server would meet up with them in like building 34 or 35 or in the cafeteria and host special events for the SQL Server MVPs. When I was on System Center Advisor, we would work with the System Center MVPs and show them a heads up of what was coming down the pipeline. And I think that these are definitely great programs, but there are some challenges that have happened over the last 20 years, where this article was saying from a couple MVPs that they're not really getting the inside scoop that they used to, and they're somewhat concerned that the program that's now about 4,000 MVPs worldwide just has some inherent challenges being that size, where if you do want to share some inside information about Microsoft with these super passionate people, it's hard to control that many non-full-time employees, and yep, exactly. So there's definitely some challenges in being able to, you know, Microsoft has obviously grown huge over the last 20 years, and with the proliferation of simple communication tools that can impact people at mass, not just forums and message boards, but having your own blogs, having your own websites, Twitter, Facebook, Google+, all that good stuff. Now the MVPs have more control over their own messaging and their own brand, so the program is definitely maturing and taking on new channels.
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll come up with a way to make sure that the MVPs still get, you know, treated well and get the sort of benefits that they deserve. Because I think it's absolutely just a wonderful, wonderful program that really, really thanks the people for doing what they were kind of doing anyway, which is, you know, just being a good, passionate person about the technology or product that you love. So there you go. Being good has its rewards. Right, Paul?
Sure.
Yeah. Hi, Paul. So Microsoft has a very interesting new promotion out there aimed at the greediness in all of us, which is something that is good. I think people think greedy is bad. Greedy is good. Basically, what we're doing here is we're going to give $100 for every application that you submit to the store, with a maximum cap of giving you $2,000. So you submit an application, we're going to give you a $100 Visa card.
Yeah, it's an interesting incentive to put out there. So this is specifically for Windows Store apps. So you'd be building for Windows 8, and it's something that started, I believe, early in March and will go through June 30th of this year. So if you're a developer and you publish an app on the Windows Store, you get a $100 Visa gift card, and you can do that up to 20 times for $2,000. Now, there are a couple caveats to this. I know that we have an international audience here on Channel 9 and on Ping, so you do have to be a you do have to live in the U.S., and you have to be at least 18 years of age. So a lot of the prodigies that we've covered on here that have started coding and building things at age 6 or... Yeah, they need to be a little bit older. So 18 in the U.S., and the you do have to cover the developer cost for the like the annual subscription, which is either $50 or $100. But then once you start
one
publishing
time.
These apps,
yeah.
Boom.
Right, and you know, this campaign is getting a lot of different feedback where some people are saying, oh, we're paying developers to develop applications. We're obviously, you know, we shouldn't have to pay them. They should want to come. This is a marketplace and an ecosystem where they can thrive in. But I actually take a different standpoint on this. I say once you get them here and once you get them developing apps with our tools and they see how, you know, what a pleasurable experience it is, how simple it can be, and how simple it is and easy to get your application into the marketplace, they're going to want to stay. So while they may be drawn here by the lure of the $100, I think, you know, we're so confident in our tool set that once they're here, they're going to be like, this is so great, I'm going to develop more applications for Windows 8. That's what I say, Paul. That's just me.
Yeah, I think if you look at the pure economics from it, when you increase incentives, you will likely see the behavior to change according to those incentives. So if you know, Microsoft has seen that once a developer has created their first app, they are more likely to create additional apps, and those apps will become better quality, then these incentives make sense. But if you look at some of the other app ecosystems out there where I believe BlackBerry has offered $1,000 or $10,000 to build apps on their platform, Charlie Kindle, who was a former head of developer outreach for Windows Phone 7, says this
good
is a
friend
really
of mine.
Yeah, this is a really dangerous incentive because developers won't have skin in the game and you're falsely propping up a platform and you may hit numbers in the short term, but you may not have long-term developer engagement. So he has a whole post on that. And I think it'll be interesting to see with, you know, such small incentives if it's just like, okay, you know, this is not enough to really game the system unless you're, you know, you're a student or you're early in your career or you want to do this as a hobby anyway. And then it's just like, okay, well, this will easily cover my costs. I'll go out and I'll build some things. And hopefully people will enjoy the experience enough that they're like, hey, you know what? I'll actually spend some time on this platform now that I know it and build some cool stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's been our sort of initiative with a lot of the campaigns. I mean, even goes to buying a Windows phone where it's like, just try it, just try it. I mean, one of our big hurdles is just getting people to try it. And then once they try it, they're like, oh, I like it. So I'm all for this campaign. I think by any means necessary, once you can get the product or tools or service into the people's hands, if you've built something great, they will stay. But getting them to try it in the first place is always the challenge. So why not give them money? All right, Paul, we've got some news of some devious activity. Apparently, some naughty little hackers out there have found their way into the Xbox Live account of some high-profile Microsoft employees. I didn't get hacked, so I don't know what kind of how higher profile you can get. But apparently, some high-profile Microsoft employees, their Xbox Live accounts have been hacked. And at first I was like, well, why would you want to hack somebody's Xbox Live account? Like, what can you possibly get? But I guess they've actually been trying to sell off the Xbox Live accounts. Like, does that mean they're, like, trying to sell off their gamer tags and with their gamer scores? Is this all in a mojo to get Chivos?
Yeah, I'm not entirely certain. I think that it could be one of those things where they hold something for ransom. Where it's like, oh,
my avatar's being held for ransom.
but yeah, it definitely seems like that Xbox Live accounts are becoming more and more influential, especially if it's tied to your Microsoft account. So perhaps by overtaking an Xbox Live account. You could also have some credit cards on file and buy things, or you could maybe buy gifts for other people or some types of way.
Download some movies. You never know.
Oh, yeah. You could totally just have hours of fun before this gets shut down from Xbox Live customer support.
Well, don't fear not, because this has been, it's under control. And Microsoft has, I guess, put a lid on it, and we've got this situation handled. So don't worry about it. But if you were fearing the safety of your avatar or your Chivos, apparently we've nipped that in the bud. Paul, I know that you're a frequent visitor of Shanghai, and you seem to be very knowledgeable about all things going on over there in China. And so I'm wondering if you're familiar with something called Tmall.
I actually had not heard of Tmall.
Well, yeah. Apparently Tmall is set to overtake Amazon in terms of sales, I guess, by I think 2015. And this is, I'm gathering, this is the Chinese version of Amazon.
Yeah. So in researching this story, I definitely found that Tmall.com is apparently the online e-commerce platform of the future. Not just for China, but potentially for the world. It says that Tmall is set to overtake Amazon by 2015 as the largest internet retailer in the world, which is pretty impressive.
Impressive, considering neither you nor I had even heard of it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things in China that you and I haven't heard of, so it's not that impressive that it can be large in China and not necessarily large outside of the country. And I think that's pretty much the MO in China these days, which is find something that's successful outside of China and bring it to China, scale it rapidly, then try and go international from there. So I'm really interested to start seeing how Tmall works. And Microsoft has partnered with them recently to start selling a bunch of Microsoft goods.
Well, obviously, they don't have Microsoft retail stores in China, but how else would you get Microsoft products in China? I mean, do they have Best Buy? I mean, where would you go prior to Tmall?
Yeah, I think Microsoft really needs to figure out its strategy in China. China's going to be the largest market in the world by far. The amount of people that are there that are coming into very, very strong amounts of wealth, and their propensity to spend is unlike any generation we've ever seen. Like, over the next 20 years, there are going to be just tens, if not hundreds of millions of affluent youth that are willing to buy the latest tech, the latest brands, high fashion, and it's already starting to show huge amounts of disruption in what we previously considered for China. So for other consumer electronics companies out there, they've had incredible success over in China. China itself is really incenting local businesses and enterprises to be building what's next in the future. So I think that that Microsoft needs to get in there now if they're going to be successful, and what they have done so far has not proven to be all that great, with only having about 1% of the tablet market share. But perhaps partnering with folks like Tmall, they'll be able to get out there and be part of the popular channels for some of their hardware devices.
Cool. Well, I can't wait to follow the story. And if you have any experience with Tmall, please post on the message boards, because I'd love to hear your take on it. All right, everybody, that wraps it up for this week. Thanks for joining. Thanks for watching. Thanks for participating. Thanks for commenting. I know last week we got a comment that said, longtime viewer, always watch, never post. So I appreciate you speaking up and typing up and commenting. And for this week's question of the week, Paul?
So for some of us, namely myself, who always do their taxes at nearly the last minute, I have stumbled upon a new website called milelogr.com, M-I-L-E-L-O-G-R.com. I actually did this when I was researching Charlie Kindle for this this episode. So Charlie Kindle, former Microsoft employee, just launched this thing that allows you to help write off mileage for your taxes. So you can go in there, you can put in your, you can provision access to like your different calendars, and it'll go through and it will figure out what business trips you've had, where you've driven to, and produce an itemized sheet that will help you get money written off on your taxes. So question of the week is, what types of tax tips do you have for me that I can help reduce the amount of money that I have to pay the government? Or tips for people in general.
I like that. See, I just always claim just under the maximum that'll get you flagged. Just kidding. All right, everybody. But in the meantime, follow me at Alfoy and this guy.
At Paul Mess.
Can't wait to hear about the tax tips. Keep it legal, people. Bye.